Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. I want to welcome those who are visiting us on Facebook, Blog Talk Live, and there are other formats as well. That's why we call this a simulcast. And I also would like to welcome our panelists. That's what I like to call it, even though they're coming on as guests on Zoom as well. And I also want to also welcome my partner, Brother Satawi Jahi. You know, family, we talk about a lot of issues on this podcast over the years. And, you know, oftentimes we try to bring some solutions, but sometimes we go down what you may call a rabbit hole. We get into some deep conversations about this and about that. But whatever we decide to talk about, there's a purpose behind it. It's reasoning to our methods. And my goal is always is to go where I'm led. And what I'm being led to or lead to tonight is this. As we often say on this podcast, there's a lot of issues that we are dealing with in this country. And most people know when America get pinched, black people, melanated people, African people get a punch. And I like to reiterate or remind everyone, podcast is not to put down any group or race of people. The mission is to uplift our own, to equal the playing field. And we all know there's been not, how would you say, fair treatment amongst black people, not even with each other sometimes. But I'm just saying, globally, there's some people think they are above other people, better than other people. I don't know where the reason they come from. But, you know, a lot of things are taught to us. And then when a thing is taught to us, then sometimes it turns into a belief. But the truth is the truth, and there's one truth. There's two sides to every story, they say. But, you know, I believe a people or a group of people is going to take care of themselves. They're going to do for them what they have to do. Now, if they have the mindset of pillaging, taking advantage of, that's what they do. If they have the ability to have cohesiveness, to work with one another, that's what they do. And if a people lay down or lie down and accept certain type of punishment from people, that's what happens to them. People will take advantage of you. In every society, in every generation, God has always, from my perspective, has raised up individuals in all groups, in all situations, to help those who are not willing to even help themselves sometimes. And then there are those who sometimes cannot go up against a powerhouse when they don't have weaponry or resources or a lot of other things. And so God has always raised up people. And tonight I just want to start this conversation off with this thought in mind. And I heard it is written that God has always gave men, women, a measure of gifts and talents. And oftentimes people really don't even recognize their gifts and talents. But it's instilled in us from the time we were born. And some people, you know, you may think it's something that you may like to do, or you may be just good at, or you just feel this way about certain things. But oftentimes a telltale sign of your gifts and your talents. But if you are one of those rare persons who talent just shows up so strongly in their lives, And if you nurture that gift, just say, for instance, if you was a pianist or something, and you like to tickle the keys as a child, but then you stayed at it, you start taking lessons, and then you have natural talent, and you worked on those things all your life, and by the time you're grown or grown up, you probably have mastered it. You probably can do things on the keyboard that even a regular natural person who just desired to do something, your talent may exceed that. But I do know this. I'm surrounded by a lot of people who demonstrate their gifts and their talents. And, you know, even talents can be a gift of compassion, caring, loving, understanding. A gift of a gift and a talent could be just to have a shoulder for someone to cry on. You know, it could be so many different things. But since we are, what I say, in crisis mode, and I believe from generation to generation, especially I'm talking about black melanated people, and I believe we are the original people. And I think that a lot of things have happened over the centuries, the thousands of years. But I do believe the last person, the first shall be last. I also believe this, that your gifts and your talents is not always meant to be for your own pleasure. I believe it's given to you so that you can share it with the world, so that it can benefit mankind. And so my discussion tonight is going to be, first of all, if you are aware of your gifts and talents, and if you are aware of them, how can it help us, we, black, African, melanated people? How can your gifts, and it don't always have to be something that's going to be so earth-shaking, everybody in the world going to benefit from it. Sometimes it's just right within your own household, your own block, your own church, your own community sometimes. And before we get started on this conversation, I'm going to turn the call over to my partner, Brother Satavi Jahi, who always has something extremely positive to say and encouraging things to say. So, Brother Satavi, are you ready, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, you got it, sir.
Okay, thank you, David. As we do each and every time we come on this podcast, we do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by the author Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And when he took on that journey to put that book together, Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, he was given a unfinished manuscript that Napoleon Hill was working on. As a manuscript for success for African Americans. He was given that manuscript by W.C. Clement Stone. And he took and used his gifts and his talents to etch out a book, Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. And, you know, a lot of people get a lot out of that book. Myself, I get a lot out of that book also. But anyway, we're reading tonight from Daily Motivations for African American Success. What's the bottom line? Quote, I above all believe in work, systematic and tirelessly. W.E.B. Du Bois, educator and scholar. Reading for the day. A sign on an employee bulletin board read, in case of fire, flee the building with the same reckless abandon that occurs each day at quitting time. In his best classic seller, The Prophet, Galil Gibran admonishes, when you work, you fulfill a part of Earth's furthest dream assigned to you when that dream was born. And in keeping yourself with labor, you are in true loving life, and to love life through labor is to be intimate with life's innermost secrets. The Reverend T.G. Jameson of the National Baptist Convention said, God gave us the ingredients for our daily bread, but he expects us to do the baking. Get busy, work with all of your might. There's no such thing as failure for the willing. Ambitious work is the greatest teacher, the most effective mentor. An unknown writer gave the following prescription for work. If your health is threatened, work. If disappointments come, work. If you inherit riches, continue to work. If your faith falters and you become a bundle of nerves, work. If your dreams are shattered and the star of hope begins to fade on your horizon, work. If sorrows overwhelm you or your friends prove untrue and desert you, work. If you are joyous, keep right on working. Idleness brings doubt and fear. No matter what ails you, work. Work as if your life were prevail for it. Whoever is the most persistent in works and the truest spirit will usually be the most useful. Capacity for hard work is an element of genius. My career is important to me. Today I will give in and add an added push. And when I was in the Congress of African People, Amiri Baraka used to have a saying, Kazi, which is work. Kazi is the blackest of all. So the most important thing that anybody can do, that's African-American or melanated, is to do the work, just like we're doing the work here in the National Black Unity News, to make sure that you get informed, periodical information that is brought together, a collaborative of writers to give you that information over periods of time, published quarterly, and it's a powerful publication. As David says, every time he gives somebody one, they tell him, I love this publication. And so that's because of the work that goes into it, the work that goes into the articles that each of the editors put together. And so, it's important that we focus on work and remember the saying, Kazi, K-A-Z-I, is the blackest of all. Kazi means work. So work is the most important thing you can do. You're down, you're depressed, work. You're not feeling good, go do some work. Because that is what the Creator intended for all of us to do. We're supposed to work till the day we die. So with that said, David, turn it back over to you, sir.
All right, thank you so much, sir. And you know something? You can call this work, but sometimes, you can have a mission, and it's a difference between work and labor. And I'm going to say this African proverb. And this proverb, I love this proverb because it has so much meaning to me. And it goes like this. An army of sheep, which is led by a lion, will always defeat an army of lions led by a sheep. And the purpose of this saying is this. See, a lion can teach or encourage a group of sheep to have a heart of a lion. They can teach them how to be brave as a lion. But on the flip side, the heart of a sheep can only teach lions to be sheepish. And so therefore, those of you who are on this call right now, and you know who you are, you know you amongst a group of lions, and because you are a lion, you also know that God gave you a lot of melanation. Therefore, they classified you as a black African-American or from the descendants of Africans. You also know that in the climate, the environment that we live in this day and time, there's unfortunately a lot of hatred, a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of heartbreak. And in this day and time, because of all sorts of situations, COVID, the economy, all kinds of things are just happening right now. People are not sure how they're going to make it financially, and they're going through, you know, a lot of turmoil, and they're going through some life-altering, they have to make some life-altering decisions today. And sometimes people just don't know what to do or where to go or who to talk to. But as I look as who's with us this evening, there's too many of y'all to mention right now. But you can see in the chat or the participants, there's about 13 of you on here now. And there's other people on the other formats. And this is what I'm proposing to do this evening before I get into our discussion, because I believe tonight that what's going to take place is because of your gifts and your talents and your heart, because you are sharing and giving people, that what you will say tonight is going to fall on some ears that really need to hear from you. I'm talking about just you. And collectively, when they hear our voices, it's going to be one powerful voice. So when I call on you, I'm going to call on quite a few of you to speak this evening. I'm not going to do too much talking. But before we get into our discussion, I just want to remind you, the family of this, that the hard copy of the National, I don't have one right in front of me, of the National Black Unity News is available, and they will be going into the mail some tomorrow and some maybe a day or two, but it's quite a freak that's going all across this country. And so, but I do need, for those of you who have not done it yet, especially some of the new people, I need your mailing addresses so I can send you some copies out. And also, there's several events coming up. I don't see them on here this evening. My partner, Bill Gooden, actually was going on to news on the news yesterday about this event he's giving on Channel 45. They featured him. I happened to be there with him, and they filmed him. And he was discussing here in Baltimore about a situation we have here where they have the stadiums open, bars, and just about everything is open. But pretty much city government is shut down. People are going through all kinds of headaches, trying to take care of their personal properties, water bills, gas and electric, and all this type of thing, but they can't get in there, get asked. They want you to go online, and everybody's not savvy with computers. And everybody don't like sharing their financial situation online as well. And so, but a lot of people are going through something, and it's just a simple question, why they have City Hall closed and all of these other agencies open. But, and so, and he's going to be giving what they call a protest, a demonstration on the 25th here in Baltimore at City Hall. And also, my same brother, Bill Gooden, I believe is the weekend after. I don't have this stuff in front of me right now, but he's having a birthday celebration. And you can call him if you would like to attend this in Baltimore as well. But on the this weekend, Saturday, in commemoration of the Million Man March, we have our local organizers here who was organizing way back then, you know, about the march. And we having a commemoration of an all-day events talking about what the march has meant to us and what has it done for us and what can it do for us in this day and time, what we can teach our children, because that was, to me, a history. I was there, and it was a historical situation where from the time we left Baltimore, I went up on a train. A good friend of mine went with me. And when we got to the train station, they had a group of women cheering us on. You know, it made you feel warm and fuzzy all over, you know. But when we got on the train, it was only standing room only. When we got off the train, all I seen was a sea of black men. I mean, busloads and people walking through the streets, and I'm talking about. But before all of that took place, there was a whole bunch of controversy going on about the Minister Farrakhan and about the purpose of the march. People had pre-notions of we were going to tear the place down, and was going to be all kinds of trouble in the day, but the whole day was peaceful, full of love, respect for one another, and it ended that way. And I took a lot from that. But so the National Black Unity News is going to participate in that event, and Brother Vernon and I see Vernon is on here, and I believe Brother Leroy and a couple of us will be participating in that, and we will have the publications available there, and I will be speaking at this event as well. But, and there's one more event coming after that, and I mentioned to you all next week, is that the organization I belong to, Black Men, Unifying Black Men, is having our November brunch where they're highlighting 21 black men, and I happen to be one of them. And I'm encouraging you all for support. If you would like to take out some promotion about your services in the program publication, do so, because it's going to be a historical event, I believe. And also because they commemorizing not just me, but I'm just saying a lot of black men who, in this town, lawyers and a whole bunch of things, who pay some dues, put it that way. And so that would be November the 6th. Now, getting back to our discussion, I asked Mr. James Silver, could he unmute himself? And I know he wasn't, like I say, I know none of you weren't prepared for what I'm about to do this evening. And like I said, I go where I'm led. And so this is all going to be spontaneous tonight. And I was mentioning earlier that people are hurting. And you know, just like the National Black Unity News, and most of you are part of the National Black Unity News, and you also know that this is a solution-oriented publication. Now, I was talking about gifts and talents. Some of you have jobs or some of you have services that can be a great help to us as a people. And that's good and fine. You know, that's what I'm trying to talk about, because people need to hear this. But there is something else that come along with some of the things that you do. And I don't want you to get into long out discussions about it, but I just want to know, are you aware of your gifts? Are you using your gifts? If you don't know, just be straight up about it. And but I want you to know how, if you do know your gifts, how can you help us as a people? Mr. James Silver, sir, how you doing this evening?
Good evening, everyone. I appreciate you allowing me to speak this evening. The question that you asked tonight, do we know our gifts? For a long time now, I have prayed and contemplated on what God is trying to say to me. And every time I ask that question, I get this response, feed my people. Feed my people. Feed my people. And I'm saying, how, Lord, how do you want me to feed your people? I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. Feed my people. And I come to the conclusion that our people are hurting financially. And so many of us don't know what our next, sometimes some of us don't even know where our next meals are coming from. And so I believe that in order to feed our people, we got to change our financially, change the people's mindset. This past weekend, I was in a room of millionaires who look like you, who look like me, who look and talk, who have passed, who come up through the ranks, and now they are set for the rest of their lives. But they are out reaching out to people who are less fortunate than they are and say, come, let me show you how to change your life financially. If I can change your life, maybe I can help change your family's life financially and leave legacies to their family instead of leaving them with debt. So I think my gift, if I could put it in a place, is feeding the people and teaching them a financial principle that God wants them to have.
Okay. I appreciate that. I want you to do me a favor. And if you can, just put your information into the chat room so that at least we would have, because this is being recorded. And so when we share this all during the week, people, if they want to talk to you about your gifts and your services, they know how to reach you. Now, I'm going to ask this other brother, Brother Jay McEachin. I want you to unmute yourself, sir.
Thank you, David.
I want to ask you pretty much the same question that you do quite a few things, but how does that relate, the things that you do, the service that you do in the communities, in your ministry, how does that relate to your gifts?
I'm a Hebrew slave. I'm making bricks without straw. That is, I'm serious when I said I'm using Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the sight of the Lord God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind to the reasonable service in the Lord. I work very hard. In the last 9 months, I have delivered over 2 million pounds of food to the least, the lost, the leftover, and the left out. I'm hurting. I'm struggling. I'm having a very difficult time. But my gift is just perseverance. My gift is my temperament now has really got me to understand the will of the Lord. It's not my will, but thy will shall be done. And that's where my gifts really where my gift really is. Right now, let me give you a prime example. I pushed, I shoved, I finagled, I did everything I did or I could, but I needed a truck. And I finally got somebody to give me the money for the truck. And everybody knows who this person is because he's a very dynamic individual. He may be on the line. I don't know if he is or not. It's Dr. Phil Leaf from Johns Hopkins University. He gave me $5,000 to buy a truck. I went to where the U-Haul company sell their old trucks. I bought the truck on the 10th of September, and by the 17th of September, the truck was down. I complained all the time about the truck not working. That was a labor of love for me, as you say. I love what I do. I don't get paid for it. I very seldom get a donation for it, but I just keep doing it day in and day out. And I let the Spirit of the Lord lead me to do what I do. Like you just said earlier, where the Spirit takes you, that's where you go. So now I'm being told by Michael Finkelstein, I call him Frankenstein. He's telling me I got to learn a lesson. He's going to feed his family. He's going to keep his employees employed, but I got to eat $4,600 for a bad truck that he sold me. As he says, sold me as is, which I know that's not the truth. But I'm saying this because I have tried desperately, and you know, David, because I've even had to come to you, and you know this to be a fact. I even had to come to you for help because I'm struggling and I'm doing it alone. There are many organizations in the city who are doing things, and when they do stuff, I participate. Bill Gooden's going to see me at City Hall. You're going to see me up on the Million Man March. I, too, went to the Million Man. Well, I walked down Route 1 all the way to Washington, D.C., so I know what you're saying. That's how a lot of us went. We did the walk from Baltimore to D.C. So, again, having lived the life that I've lived and lived as long as I've lived, I'm desperately trying to understand why we can't get it all together. Now, I heard this brother, and I'm going to put my information on here, My Father's House, Baltimore, and Corner Rock Ministries. I'm going to put this on the line. Hopefully he'll help me or I can get some help to learn how to be, as he said, people who look like him being a millionaire. Well, I must admit, I think you know this too, Dave. I was a millionaire. I did have $1 million. When you needed money, I could give it to you. When you needed to have a good time or you had troubles or trials and tribulations, I made sure you had. But now I'm busted, disgusted, and I can't be trusted because I can't get the things I need no more. So, but I understand this thing. I really have begun to understand this thing. I'm going to keep on crying. I'm going to keep on trying. I'm going to keep on praying. And I'm going to stay with the Spirit of the Lord right now. I got a contract with Build, the largest organization in the state of Maryland, who handled billions of dollars of grants and monies. They are giving me 1,400 boxes of food per week to distribute because they watch me. They see me do the things that I do. Now, how am I going to do that when I don't have a truck? And I have a little teeny car. I have to ferry back and forth 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times to pick up the food, to make sure that I deliver the food to the elderly, the homeless, and whoever else I need to go. I'm in 4 schools right now, the digital school, Wildwood Elementary and Middle School. I'm at the Stadium School. I'm down there on Saratoga Street at that school. I take food to the kids who go home. 1,600 is registered. 1,600 kids go home every day hungry, even after they go to school. We got 1,600 kids who are living in what they call bandominiums, vacant houses, trying to go to school and don't have no sources or resources for them to lean on. So I'm asking, and again, I beg and I borrow and I steal, and it says it have not seen that. Just like today, David, in your neighborhood at Edgewood and Emerson Avenue, a young man was beating on a woman, beating her mercilessly because she stole his dope. Do you know a gun fell out of his waistband? And by the time the police came, he almost literally dragged this girl down the street with a Uzi. This thing had a bigger clip than the gun was. And I'm saying to myself, where are we at? Where are our people? And people were standing around watching them do it in the neighborhood. They were watching. Mm-hmm. So, again, the police was called. I identified who he was because I stayed there. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid to die. I know that sounds crazy, but because I know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. I know I'm going to see tomorrow. It may not be on this side, but it will be eternal life. I tell people there's a vacation we got to take, and there's a reservation you can't cancel. So that's something people need to understand. Where yes, do you want to spend the rest of your life? But I'm just saying, I'm going to get off because I know other people want to talk. I need help. I really need
help. Put your information in the chat room for those who maybe want to bless you. They just put it into the chat room right now.
I've got to get some help. I can't.
Okay,
I'm going to put it in the chat room,
and you see what happens. And but there's another young lady on here. I know she has a multitude of gifts and talents. And you know who I'm going to, Miss Fran Allen. If you can unmute yourself, please. And Fran is also an editor in the National Black Unity News. She just currently moved to North Carolina. And like I say, Fran has so many gifts and talents. But Fran, I'm talking about currently, because like I say, I know you can go on and on and on. You know, with your gifts and talents. But you recently started doing some new things in a new area. And I know you're a blessed woman, and I know you've been providing blessings for people for years and years and years. But what is your gifts? What is your talents? And what are you doing with them today?
Good evening, everyone. I hope everyone is well, in good health, and in good spirits. My gifts are and have always been running my mouth and calling things into action to make it plain. God gives me words to say, and I say them, and they motivate people, and they inspire people, and they support folks, and they encourage folks, because that's what they need in the moment that they are in. I wish I could say that I was so brilliant that I thought of all this stuff, but I can't claim that, because I would be a liar if I did. God has truly, truly, truly been good to me, and I hold on to his hand, because there is nothing that I'm able to do without holding on to his hand. And I'm bold with my faith, because my faith has me where I am, living the life that I'm living that I never thought I would live to see, but I'm here. Thank you, Jesus. So recently I started working with some members of my church here to create a tutoring program to help some kids in the community. The church had the program before the COVID, and then when the pandemic came, it got shut down. And so we are struggling to get it back up and running. That's one thing that I'm doing. I'm also creating a young motivators section on one of my pages in the paper to call young kids, 10 to 18 or so, to write articles about things that are important to them so that we can begin to listen to our kids. They need a voice. And I'm going to provide them with a voice, and I'm going to pay for it somehow on my page so they can have some space to say what they need to say so we can figure out where these kids' heads are and we can get behind them. I write self-help books, motivating, encouraging, inspiring, and supporting people, showing them that there is commonality, that there is a cooperative spirit, particularly in our community. And I just share the experiences of my life because I don't think that I have a license on a particular ownership of hardship or irritation, aggravation, and all those other things that come when you get up every single day. If you don't get up and put your armor on, you're going to be fraught with aggravation, irritation, and a whole bunch of stuff. But I believe that if you share those experiences, other people can say, dang, man, she going through. And all of a sudden, your problems aren't as big as somebody else's problems. And maybe you're having a better day now because you know that it could be a lot worse than it is. And sometimes you just share because you know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And you can tell somebody else, look, at the end of the tunnel, there's light. And if you keep walking, if you don't give up, if you don't stop, if you just keep going, you're going to be standing in the sunshine. And somebody else is going to come behind you. And you'll be able to look over your shoulder and say, don't quit. 10 more steps and you're going to be in the sun. Don't quit. Don't sit down. Don't stop. Don't just keep going. Because sometimes that's what we need to hear. We need to hear somebody else say, I know it's hard, and I know your heart is broke, and I know you can't figure out how you're going to pay that bill, but you know what? Tomorrow is going to come. It's going to be a better day. Just don't quit. Because it's dark is just before dawn. It's dark is just before dawn. And then what happens? The sun comes up in the morning, and God is good again, giving us another day to look at another masterpiece that he's created for us that we had never seen before and we will never see again. So don't quit. Go get yours because it's out there and it's waiting for you to put your hand on it. But you'll never get there if you quit. So those are my gifts. I write it. I speak it. Sometimes if I just see somebody looking like they just need a smile, I'm like, you know what? Why are you frowning? Didn't you get up this morning? Yeah. Well, you breathing, right? Yeah. Are you racked with pain? Are you sick, about to go to the hospital? No. Well, then don't you have a few things already to be grateful for? Don't you have something to be appreciative about? Did you get some food today? You had your first cup of coffee? Yeah. Do you know how many people didn't?
Yeah.
And do you know that you are not one of those people? Okay. So, you know, everybody has something great within you. Everybody, every single one of us, we all have something great within us. It's just a matter of how much time are you going to spend digging inside yourself to find it? Because God put it in there, and he's going to send you through some stuff so you can find it if you really want to find it. But you got to be willing to go, and you can't quit. You can't quit. So those are my gifts. And the books, you know, I sell the books, and I use the profits from the books to give donations to groups like God's Giving Hands and the Black Wolves Scout Nation and some other organizations that I support, trying to make sure that our kids get, you know, some attention, some positive attention and some information about who we are as a people, and not leaning on the lack of education that they will get about us in the public school system, because we all know that they don't want to tell our story, because if they tell our story, they have to tell the truth about their own story. Okay, so we can't depend on the school system to tell the children what they need to know. That's our job. And that's part of what the National Black Unity News is all about too, which is another reason why I'm so supportive of David and his efforts. You know, and you guys are like a family to me. You're all like a family. And I love you guys. I really do. You're just amazing people, all of you. You're just amazing people. So that's my two cents, my story, and I'm sticking to it. And I throw the mic back to Dave. Thank you.
All right. Okay, thank you so much. Brother Leroy, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Now, I know you're a multi-talented man. I know you done wrote several books. I know you done helped other people write books. I know you participate in so many events and things like that. So what are your gifts, sir, and how can you use them to help us as a people?
Well, I truly believe that my assignment, as you call it, your gift, is assisting individuals and organizations together to bring a vision to reality, providing clarity and direction. And I was, everyone was talking, for some reason, the word training came to mind. How do you train somebody? Being able to train someone. And here's what I wrote down. Being transparent, being relevant and accountable, being involved, network, and being able to help people to do those particular things. How do they be transparent? By showing them how to be transparent. Relevant, what are the things that we do that are relevant to what we want to do and need to do? Being accountable, holding myself accountable for the things that I say that I want to be able to help people do, and then also doing those things that I've been assigned to do, by the way. Involved. It's not just about talking about things. I need to be involved in things. I know I heard a couple of the fellows talk about the Millionaire March that's coming up, and I remember that day as well. I remember even the day leading up to it, because one of my buddies that I went to college with, he and I had an apartment together, and so all of our other friends came and stayed with us tonight because we were all going to go over together to DC. And I remember us getting up. We left about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and we got over in DC about 4 or 5, somewhere around there. And we were sitting up front. We were right up front at the stage. And I remember we were sitting in the too. it was a nice crisp night, but I remember the other day you talked about coming out to a sea of men. I actually saw it forming as the men were coming. So the sun was coming up, and all I'm seeing is that what do they call that, the whatever that park, the area is. Mm-hmm. I saw that fill up, and then as you know, by the beginning of the actual event, and just looking all the way back, and being able to see nothing but loving young black boys being out there for that whole day, and it just being a day of power, just it's something that I'll never forget. I'll stay with it. And then the thing of it was, when we all left, everybody cleaned up, and you couldn't even tell that anybody had been there, because that's the job that they had. So mm-hmm. I took that from that day. And then even having the responsibility to talk about being involved in those things, loving my community, loving my city, and making sure that our city is doing, you know, that it can be, the people can, that we can be the best that we can be, and that it lives up to the expectation that we want to have. I believe everybody here that's from Baltimore, we love this city. And we want to see it do and be what it can be, because it's a beautiful city. So that's what I thought about. Those are the things that I think that I try to contribute in any and everything that I do. And I always say I try to enlighten, empower, and impact. And that's to teach something, to equip people with something, and then impact them to want to do something.
Right. right. Thank you so much, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. YT, can you unmute yourself?
Uh-huh.
How are you doing today?
I'm okay.
All right. Now, you're another one of those people. I know you have a multitude of gifts and talents, and I know several of them, but I want you to explain to what are your gifts and what do you do with them?
Well, one of my gifts is I work with an organization called Women on Route to Higher Heights, and we work with human trafficking victims. And what we try to do is try to ensure that law enforcement is trained in anti-trafficking and help to support these young women. We recently opened a place up off of Reisterstown Road, and we have 5 bedrooms where we are housing some of these victims. We started about a year ago, and now we're nonprofit and so forth and so on. That's one of the things I do. Then I worked with another group of young guys from the school system. And basically, it's basically the same thing that Fran is doing in terms of encouraging them to learn how to write. They want to write, but they have a fear of writing. They have a fear of being ridiculed because of the way they write. And the program that I just started about 6 months ago, it's called Write, R-I-G-H-T, Write to Write.
Okay.
And it's really an exciting time. And the things that they have to say are so encouraging, and trying to support them and encourage them to write it. And don't worry about how it looks, how it sounds. Just worry about how it feels to you when you pour your heart out on a piece of paper. Don't worry about the grammar. Don't worry about the the formation and the structure. Just put it down on paper. Then we'll work on the end of it, the structure later. And then I get them to talk about what they've written and why they've written it. And it's a beautiful sight not only to see the expressions on their faces as their friends, their fellows, receive what they're saying. These are the same fellows who mocked them at first, but when they see and feel what they've written, it's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful thing to see and or hear. And these are young guys, ages 13 to 17 so far. Hopefully, I'll be able to do this with some adults, because we have some adults who write, but their writing does not, it doesn't compare with what they say they want to write. And it's kind of hard, because sometimes they get intimidated by those people who write so well and are able to express themselves. Like, I'm not one who does verbal expressions too much, but when I do, I really get off. These are the kind of things that I'm doing. I'm also a seamstress, so I'm able to help some of the young ladies at the church who want to be creative with sewing. So I help them with those kind of things. It's just so much.
Yeah.
I can't even think of everything else that I do, but I am enjoying, I'm like saying, I thank God that he has left me here to inspire and to motivate and to help and to listen to people. As a matter of fact, I had a young lady call me at 8 o'clock yesterday morning, and I missed the phone call. So I got back on the phone at 11 o'clock last night, and I called her, and she was telling me, I wanted you to pray with me because they just told me that I have cancer. And I just wanted you to pray with me, Ms. Barbara. And I said, oh, my God. So I prayed for her last night. Then I called her again today. And I was saying, thank you, God, for giving me the kind of spirit that somebody knows that if they call me, I'm going to be there for them. So I found out that she's going to be operating on the 21st of this month. And I'm making arrangements with the hospital to be able to go and hold her hand before she goes into surgery. And they said, they don't usually do that. I said, but I got to be there because she wants to be there. So I've made some kind of provision between she and her pastor and her doctor. And they're going to let me come and be there for her before she goes into surgery. So I thank God for these kinds of things. That's the end of me for right now.
All right. Thank you so much. And I'm going to bring this brother on because he has a kind of a way to tie pretty much a lot of things together. And he's been on the battlefield for a long time. And that's Brother Cliff. Can you unmute yourself, sir? And I know that you are very, I would say, analytic about a lot of things. And but when it comes to gifts, talent, things that you care about, and why you do the things that you do. Now, with your talents and your gifts, sir, how does it help us as a people?
Okay, I'll go through it really briefly, a little bit talked out today, but I'll say what I consider to be five main things that I tend to focus on in a lot of my advocacy work. And I'll start from the local or small scale and work out. First of all, I'm a member of Arts Social Club. As a member of Arts Social Club, I'm trying to work to help them reestablish the oldest private Black social club in the country. The primary thing I'm doing with them is working to help bring their sound system back up because I've got a little bit of experience in music sound, that sort of thing. So I'm helping them do that. So that's the small scale thing. Moving up from there, I've got a little bit of web and media experience. I've got a couple of websites. The first one that I put up was based on a newsletter that I had done from 1997 to 2011. And that was called Kuumba Report. So the website is kuumbareport.com. The website just got the newsletter got too expensive to continue to print. So I decided to put on the web called kuumbareport.com. And I probably don't get as many readers, but at least it doesn't cost me an arm and a leg every month. The next thing is getting into the organizations that I am connected with. And the first one is Sixth Region Diaspora Caucus, or SRDC. I'm the Maryland State Facilitator. We have held a number of community town hall meetings in Baltimore primarily. COVID has kind of shut that down, but we're going to be picking that up again either once COVID lifts or once I just go on ahead and get a Zoom Pro account and start holding virtual town halls. The idea of the town halls is to bring the grassroots community out and to listen to what their concerns and issues are, establish a local Pan-African agenda, and find out who that local community would have to speak for them on the national and international stage. Moving on to the national and international stage, those representatives that would be elected for the state of Maryland would join representatives from other local areas across the United States and in other parts of the African diaspora to essentially take our message, our issues, the concerns that we want to have addressed and the ways that we can contribute to lift up African people globally to the world stage through the African Union, through the United Nations, through the Pan-African Federalist Movement, through whatever international Pan-African organizations are ready to actually get to the work of organizing and lifting up the Pan-African community. And then the fifth thing would be finding ways to bring all of that together. Among the things that we're trying to push here in Maryland is what I call the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition. It's still an unofficial name, but impact kind of rolls off the tongue pretty well. And there's also an international equivalent to that that had been out years ago and we hope to resuscitate again called the Pan-African Diaspora Union or PADU. The idea is to get all these different organizations with different talents, different focuses, different missions, get them working together as a team instead of either ignoring each other or competing against each other and undercutting each other. There's way too much of that still goes on in our community. There's too much of this go it alone notion to stay in your lane mentality. It's one thing to stay in your lane, but if those lanes never converge, we will never move anywhere as a people. There's an old saying that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. It's about time we started paying attention to that and started coming together instead of thinking that we must come together under my leadership or everyone must follow me. Find a way to come together cooperatively so that everyone has an equal voice and everyone is approaching our issues and our problems on an equal footing. So those are the primary things that we're working on. Those are the primary things that I tend to burn my brain cells about every day. Kind of drives people in my family crazy because they think I'm spending all my time on that. But that's what we do, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
Good news, sir. Bishop Hawthorne, can you unmute yourself, sir?
I knew you were going to get me.
Well, I'm trying to get everybody if I can. But, I know you're a man of multitudes of gifts as well. And we're running out of time, and I'm trying to get to everybody. But what gifts that you want to share with us, and how can those gifts help us as a people?
Well, you definitely have a strong networker here, someone who's actively involved in a lot of different social organizations, religious and civic organizations. I've had my foundation for the youth, and education has always been a primary what we wanted to do with reaching out to our young people, especially now with a new twist with everything that's been going on, finding another way to introduce the Know Your Rights, orientation to give our young men and women the opportunity to learn just what kind of rights they have in our communities and society in general, how to properly approach and be approached by law enforcement so that we can reduce the amount of heinous crimes being committed by racist and prejudiced law enforcement officers. And we also, we do a lot of ministry, touching bases with a lot of different churches. And so we get an opportunity to help out. And that's, I saw on the chat here, someone was talking about the assistance with the Feed the Elderly and Homeless. And so we're looking into, me and my wife are talking about reaching out and helping out to make that happen. One of the things that I always say that my bishop says, we can do together what one can't do alone. And I'm a firm believer in that. So I believe in the power of unity. And I believe it was Frederick Douglass who said that there's power in numbers. And I really believe that the numbers that we have to come together in strength is dealing with our people being unified, having one mind, one determination, one conscience. But we need to have our goals and objectives laid down so that we can meet the principles like what was written in Habakkuk, to write the vision and make it plain upon the tablets that they that read it may run. But we got to remember that the things that we prepare for today may not necessarily come to pass in our time, but if we lay the foundation, we can begin to impact another generation. And right now, we've dealt with the X generation, the Y generation, the Z generation, the millennial generation, and each generation has had its share of issues and complications, their disrespect and disregard both for the process of education, the desire to read and learn what's in the books, and understanding the value of the elders of the community that uphold the family, and not elders as we religiously put it in the church, but elders in the presbyter sense of being those who hold the history, the gurus, the people who can instill in us the things that historians are writing in the books. And so I like to tell the young people, we are your books. Learn from us, and you'll get a more founded truth, a more revealed revelation of the experiences that we went through to shape the future for you. Of course, with my music, that's another way that I outreach. And also, I'm a visionary as well. I do a lot of observing situations and studying to see how we can improve and make things better. And then I write it down and I present it. Now, people don't always approach it or agree with it or take it to heart, but it's what I do. I see how we can make things easier for another generation or another group of people. And even in employment situations, I've been known to recognize processes that should have been employed to move a production more efficiently. And because they didn't, they suffered. That wasn't my fault. You know, I did what I was supposed to do, which was to bring them into awareness and to encourage them to do what they could do to make the process better. So with us, I look at this group of people, this team of people, and I say that we have a lot of gifted and skilled individuals with talents that have abilities. I mean, I've heard book writers, I've heard producers and people who have abilities with music. And all of that plays into a central and, you know, necessary focus or purpose. That one of the things that we should begin to focus on is something similar to what the, the African-American AFRAM, the festival that they have, it was supposed to be set for Timonium. And it's strange because at once it was in Baltimore City, but now it's being offered in the county. But I think that as a group, the National Black, you know, News Unity News Network, we ought to be able to do something similar. I'm seeing people setting up different venues and having different people set up their little booths and promoting their wares and so forth. And this would be a great way for us to not only become further recognized in the Baltimore area, but to also begin to share the individual gifts and ability that is collectively within this whole network right here.
Okay, sir. I appreciate that. And there's a young lady that don't come on here too often. And I don't know if she want to speak tonight, but I'm definitely going to ask her. Miss, I think I got her right here, Joy. Miss Ford, can you unmute yourself, please? Ford, if you don't want to speak, that's okay too, but I'll just say a few words about her. Is this, I met her on several occasions, and she's also what I would call a community activist. She really cares and loves people, but she's also an author. She wrote several books, several children books as well. And so, you know, she's constantly in the community and she constantly has children on her mind because, you know, she ministered through her books and using her wisdom and her knowledge. So, Ford, I appreciate you. And I know there's another brother on. I'm going to speak for him as well because he tells me that he don't often share, to, you know, speak too much, you know. He said he let his work speak for him. And that's Brother Rico Crawley, who runs an organization called God-Giving Hands. which also goes out there in the community and feed the homeless, the needy, those who are downtrodden, and those who just need some help. And not only do he feed them, but he clothes them. He provides, you know, they have resources where they can get help. And he not only he does with his own organization, but he's also collaborates with quite a few other groups and organizations around the city. He serves with them as well. And this brother Hart, he's a true servant. And all I can do is just take my hat off to him. You know, he's one brother that truly, truly cares about us. And Mr. Michael Thomas, because I'm definitely, don't even think Roof Ministry that I forgot about you. Because I got a special task for you at the end. And so that's why I'm preserving you right now. And but Mr. Michael Thomas, if you care to share a few words with all of them gifts and talents that you have, sir, and how it can help us as a people.
Thank you, David. Everyone on the call, obviously, my prayer was answered when I run into the Black Unity News Network and Team Organization Business. My prayer that I wanted to be in the presence of those who had more scholarly aptitude on world affairs than me, and I appreciate it. I appreciate all of you, and what my gift is that I can mention is that I am in the presence of the acumen of all of you, and that I can reflect, you know, to determine in my mind what looks like the paradise for me based on what you all have said. And so I have gotten into this mindset of excellency and what does the paradise look like, and try to comprehend and explain to myself what the paradise looks like and bring it to the world. And I want to give that reflection in everything that I do. I'm not as active as any of you guys, as a matter of fact, and I see, you know, that I'm in the presence of those who are ahead of me, and that's good. I'm gratified, and I am conscious of one of the speeches that I heard on Friday about the Sub-Sahara, the people who walk 3 miles for to get a bucket of dirty water. And I'm conscious of that. And I want to have a hand in helping the world out in this new paradise whereby no one has to walk 3 miles for a bucket of dirty water, that they can get water just like I can get. Essential things, you know, that I have that they don't have, that they can get them like I have them and have it better than me. And so I'm just hooked on this idea of wealth, of this Black Economic Empowerment Project that enables people to get housing and personal transportation with no debt. I have this gift of focus to pay attention to what I think is sane, to pay attention to what I think is sanity, in spite of insanity, in spite of things not being good for us, in spite of the things that we see. And I appreciate Brother Bill Gooden, you know, who saw and allowed me to see in him where he saw that the city hall was closed, but the bars were open. And that's what I see, and that's what I reflect on, and I'm glad to be in the presence of this light, you know, that I would not see at all if I were not here. And I appreciate that. I don't have anything else to say, you know, on my talent or talents, but I'm grateful to be in the presence of you guys, and that's it's a gift from the true Almighty, and I call it a gift. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Mr. Walter Murphy, MC Murphy, would you care to share what your gifts are, sir, and how I can help us as a people?
David, I got to tell you something, man. First of all, I am mesmerized by all of the talent that's already on this call. No question about it. Brother Michael just said it, and so many eloquently, really, that the people who are here are truly blessed. They happen to be some of, I believe, nature's best. And so when it comes down to me, I guess I'm kind of on the eclectic side. David's kind of like shaking his head a little bit because he kind of knows that I'm kind of all over the place. But at the same time, I guess when you talk about a gift, is that I am truly aware of who I am. And in that gift, it makes me humble. It makes me extremely grateful. And what it also does, it makes me appreciate life so much more. Because me knowing you lets me know that I ain't all that. And then again, I am, just like you. There is so much in every one of you, and most of it is just the tip of the iceberg. And that's what I see in most of you. And as you know, all of that you've done and all of that you're doing, you also know it could have been so much more and so much better and so different had you just put in a little more effort, a little more time or whatever. But that's not the point. The point is that you know that you know. Nobody has to know that but you. And you don't have to sweat it or worry about it because if it wasn't done by you, it won't get done. And that's the end of it. But the beautiful thing about life is that all of us, every one of us on this call have gifts and talents. There is not one person on this planet without one. Not one. And so that makes us all gifted, all talented. The difference is that we got to find the what that specific talent is. And a lot of us are swimming upstream. We're paddling hard trying to get up that waterfall, and it don't work so well. Going down the opposite direction where all the good stuff is. Flow on downstream, ladies and gentlemen, because that's what the life really is. And when I say that, I'm not talking about it's got to be easy, no. But life, the choices that you make, a lot of times you wind up going down this deep, dark pit because you're going down the wrong direction and you know. Chasing money, your wrong answer. Chasing whatever that is, wrong answer. It tells you what to do moment by moment. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm gifted in so many ways. I athletically can sing and dance, all that. That's fine. But what's most important is that how can I, what do I bring to mankind? To be honest with you, hopefully nothing, J-O-Y, joy. And if I can do that, I've done my job for today. Back to you, David.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. We have another young man on here as we get ready to close out. Mr. Vernon Streeter, sir.
Yeah.
Can you unmute yourself? Like I said, I want you to share with people who your gifts are, what your gifts are, and how can it help us as a people. Can you explain that to me, sir?
Yes, I would like to say good evening to everyone. And I am just amazed also with the intellect and the giftings of everyone, you know, from the Creator. And, you know, I just feel so proud just to be amongst, you know, my elders and, you know, just a privilege. What my gifts are, I have a few. I'm an assistant, you know, I serve. I have, you know, technical gifts about, you know, just dealing with equipment, audio and video equipment. You know, I just like to help out, you know, with wherever I can, you know, especially, you know, someone that's doing something or has a vision and, you know, the Lord might lead me to help them, you know, I just, you know, help out wherever I can. You know, I'm just a, you know, just a simple person, you know, just, you know, take it easy, kind of like laid back and everything. And, you know, I just enjoy helping.
And I can agree with that because he definitely loves helping because this young man goes way beyond the call of duty, as far as I'm concerned, to help others. And he don't have to either get on a bus or whatever he has to do, carry that equipment. And he gets there, he asks for nothing in return. And he do that because he has a heart to serve and a heart to give. And so I appreciate you, brother, really do. And I hope I didn't miss anyone. And Brother Satai, in closing, would you like to share a few of your gift and how it can help us as a people, sir?
Yeah, David, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to, you know, share some closing words and thoughts. One of the things that I'm gifted at is being able to show people how to save on their taxes. That's a gift that I received from a mentor of mine by the name of Al Peltier, who basically the home-based business tax write-offs, and then from two other gentlemen, Sandy Bakken, who's white, and then Ron Mueller, who talked about how he has a yacht that he does business from and how he was able to take that yacht and use it as a tax write-off. So, you know, that's one of my premier gifts. The other is working with young people, inspiring them to do things beyond their imagination. And so I know I probably got several more, but those are two that stand out most to me right now is what I'm able to do with people, helping them with their taxes, and then also motivating young people to move forward and prosper in their life.
Okay, I appreciate that, sir. And brother have a lot of, quite a few more gifts, because like I said, I've been knowing this brother 30, 40 years, and I've never seen him and his wife gave so much to so many or so little. But you know, the rewards don't always come back monetarily. It comes in so many other formats and so many other forms. And so, you know, I've witnessed, you know, a lot of things that God has brought you. And so, you know, continue to hold on, brother. And before we close out, there's a couple on here that just joined the family, the National Black Unity News. And that's, and they are called Ruth Ministry. And Prophetess Smith and Pastor Bradford, you know, we talked in the last week or two, we talked quite a bit, and they shared quite a bit. And so before we close, can you just share who you are, what your gifts are, and how can it help us as a people? Unmute yourself, please.
Hello, Saints. How you doing?
Great.
I'm glad to be among this environment that God had done 2,000 years ago. I'm a prophet. I didn't know who I was and what I was. I was walking around just like a mannequin with a voice. But working in a hospital, I began to know what my calling was, because I loved to help and patients. No matter what, I worked 15 hours for 23 years, not taking vacation, sick time, because I wasn't sick. My vacation was helping them. I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be all this. I was God-given sent to help them within. So I was able to see things were going on with them and not knowing why I was seeing these things. When the doctor has given up ideas and things to do for them, I told him this is what's happening. My gift is so profound that I can go and sit down and mind my business and God tell me to say something to this person. And I can go on and on. But like the gentleman said, you see who I am through my food. And I appreciate everybody on this line. I'm telling you, all things is done. Financially, physically, spiritually, it's done. Gentlemen said, we have to come together. First of all, we have to take up the lust of hating, envy, jealousy, backbiting, talking, gossip, putting down each other and just put it up. Let it go. And let's forgive everything and forgive ourselves and move on. Our children going to need the support. Children have to learn the difference between right and wrong, not the difference between hurting or he's this or she's that or she's not from here. So we talk about it. No, we can't do that. We have to have our kids praying for them. We have a young lady that's 11 years old. She came home and she spoke. Her mother called me and the Holy Spirit told me to tell her to pray for them. Now that she prayed for them, now she's teaching them the Bible. Now she's coming aboard here. The young lady talking about the kids. The kids are the leader now. We have to work towards the future. We got to be the new wall now. The wall is coming down, but we're building it back up. It started 2019. And you all is involved with it today. You all have no more lack. All of them to be as though they are. Mark 11:23. So I'll take it from there that you will see the changes as you get off the ground. If everybody is accountable, everybody has, God has a roof for everybody. When you get up in the morning before you hit the floor, what's my assignment, Father? I need this, I need that, and say it's done. Don't cry about it because it's done. Don't worry about it. It's done. So that's all I have to say, and I appreciate it. To talk with each one of y'all, one-to-one, privately or collectively, however, and you see what God has sent us to do for each other. I give you my husband that has a multiple gift, and he can speak to himself. Thank you for hearing me.
Good evening, everybody. Praise God. We truly thank God for this opportunity to be able to be on the National Unity Black News.
Hallelujah.
With our brother David.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Who God has opened a door for us to be able to come on. And truly it has been a blessing from the first day that we were able to speak with our brother. I have multitude of gifts I didn't even know about. My main one is a passion to share the word of God and to see other people smile and rejoice in the process of hearing God's word. Instead of being like so stiff where if you squeeze them, lemons will come out of them. But I like to be joyful in sharing the word of God. My wife told me I have multiple other gifts and singing, and I don't know. She said I could sing. I guess I can because we're still together. And there's many other gifts that God has blessed us with. And what we like to do, we like to share. We like to help and reach out. And for anything, if anybody needs us to come and share even the word of God in your ministry and, you know, give us the opportunity and we'll do it. We ain't looking for no money. We just want to get the word of God to as many souls as possible while we have little time. Because we know the days are getting shorter. So many may say it's getting longer, but I believe the days are getting shorter and we're soon to see Jesus return. So I thank God for everyone who spoke tonight because it was like looking into a mirror.
Amen.
And seeing our lives in the lives of others.
Amen.
Where we all have so much gifts that God has given us. The talents and the gifts are two different things. Some of us use our gifts as our talents. Some of us use our talents as our gifts. But the main thing is to have those gifts and use them for the glory of God. Wrote a message maybe about a good 25 years ago. It's your gift. Use it or lose it. It's your gift. Lose it to the naysayers. It's your gift. Lose it, use it, or use it. It's your gift. Use it or lose it. It's just like the mind. So the mind is a terrible thing to waste. The gifts and talents that God has given us is a terrible thing to waste. We're all gifted in many things in our life. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has a talent. But sometimes what happens, we allow the outside entities, so to speak, to destroy those gifts that God has birthed in us from the day we were in the mother, in our mother's womb. Before we were even born, he already knew who we were, what we would become, but it was our choice. You know, they talk about predestination. You know, some were born to go to heaven and some were born to go to hell, and that's totally opposite of what the scriptures are saying. You know, everybody was born to be used by God. God didn't create some to go to hell and some to go to heaven. We choose. Hell was never made for man anyway. We choose to go to heaven or hell through our own choices. But God's love is still loving us in spite of our choices that we make. He loves us, but he hates our sin. But God loves us. And the talents, I'm telling you, we can be all night talking about the talents and gifts that God has given us. But our most important thing is we want to reach out. See these hands? These hands want to be used for God. It's like each and every one of us have hands. You don't have hands, you got feet. You don't got feet, you got ears. You don't got ears, you got eyes. You don't got eyes, you got ears, you got hands. Everyone is blessed with something to put it forth to be used by God. So David, we thank you, and we thank all of those that are on tonight and those that will be hearing these messages. Use what God has given you. Never feel that you don't have anything to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can wake up in the morning, you can say, thank you, Lord. Use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Take my lips, Lord. Use me. So we all have gifts. So God bless. May you continue to be blessed. And thank you once again for having us. Family. And our telephone number is on the thing if you want to call us anytime.
All right. Thank you. Make sure everybody that you put your numbers in the chat room so people may want to communicate with you afterwards. But before I go,
David, before you close out, I have two things that I need to ask. For addictions, I put people in detox every day. 15 minutes after I meet somebody, greet somebody who's willing to submit themselves to detoxification, I put them in John Hopkins or Gardenza, other places. I put them in places where they can get some help. The other thing is tomorrow at 10 o'clock, I'll be at Perkins Square Baptist Church with 400 boxes of food. We're going to feed that food desert, that community, right in front of the church. I need volunteers to help me. If anybody wishes to come, 2500 Edmondson Avenue, 21223. I need volunteers to help deliver the food. At that same time, the executive board of the United Missionary Baptist Convention will be in session, but I am the prison director for the state of Maryland for this convention. I ask that you would come out and help me. If you can't, any donations, $JAS195. I put it on the chat line. For those of you who don't get on the chat line, again, it's $JAS195. I have expended all my funds. I'm broke, disgusted, and can't be trusted, but I'm still doing the power of the Lord God that I serve. If you could help me, it would truly be appreciated. So if you could help me, please do, because it's an arduous task. I put $671 worth of struts on my car because the weight wore my car down that I was bouncing up and down in the street. So if you could help me, I would appreciate it. $JAS195. I really would appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, David.
Thank you, sir. And before we close out, there's a young lady. She told me that she would be coming on late because she had a previous engagement to take care of. Kathleen Murphy, and by the way, we will be on tomorrow at 7:30, and she is the host of our business call on Tuesday. Kathleen Murphy, would you like to share before we close down?
I would just like to say that I was just reaching out to Ruth Ministry. I've been so busy. Sorry I got on late, but I was about business with another call. And I was wondering if Ruth Ministry and Mr. Silver would be available for tomorrow night to come on and just talk to us, not putting you on the spot. But that's kind of what I was trying to type in just now on the chat. You're muted, Ruth Ministry.
Thank you. We are available for you.
Then that sounds real good. And Mr. James Silver, I don't know if you saw the chat question, but I also was asking you if you were available. Thank you so much. So tomorrow night, I'll be sending out the link tonight and it will be all ready. And we will go ahead and have Ruth Ministries speak tomorrow. And we look forward to that. And as you know, we provide updates on what's going on with the editors and the publication, and we talk about our products. Right now, I have to get with the managing director, Mr. Dempsey Murphy, to see if he has anything he wants to put out tomorrow. We can always be treated at the end of our call with a closing remarks from our founding publisher, Mr. David Lee Murphy. So tomorrow night will be a real nice time to come out and listen to what we have to say. Thank you, David.
Thank you. In closing, I did this, like I said, I go at, you know, as I'm being led. Now, this was not rehearsed, was not planned. Nobody on it knew what we was going to do tonight, and or even if they were going to even share it this evening. But the purpose is, and many will see, that first and foremost, as I always say about the National Black Unity News, is by divine inspiration. And I'm not by myself, as obviously, as you just have heard, that many on this call, many, matter of fact, pretty much all of them, recognize, serve, and work for God. You heard that out of their own mouths, how they willing to go, how they been serving over the years. And for those of you who, and most of us are going through some serious stuff, those of us who are not sure about tomorrow, those of you who just don't know what's going to happen, and we got people on here who's serving with food, serving with our children. We have people on here with ministries, and we have a national-based newspaper where we try to put out positive information. But the bottom line is this: no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, you know, God is truly able. And if you go to God just as you are, and I can attest to this, that even if you ain't even sure about God, just go, ask. And I'm going to tell you something. All sorts of things will begin to happen. You set your mind on God and go there, like I said, in honesty and in truth. You don't have to know all the words of the Bible, Quran, or anything. You just go to God for yourself. And no matter what your situation is, there are people that's willing to help you. There's a group of people right here, right now, is willing to help you in your situation. Now, there's no excuse. All you have to do is you will see when you, for those who are not live with us now, who will see this video throughout the week, you will see all sorts of numbers in the chat. Go through those numbers. Pick up the phone. Call them. See for yourself how many people are willing to help you in your situation. But with all things, you know, I'm in a unique place because, again, I sit in the midst of all of these great and wonderful people that whom God has blessed and whom God is using. And I have the unique and the privilege of serving with the people on this call, right, on the Zoom call. See, it's very difficult for me to see things so negatively, to see things like there is no hope, because I'm around this all the time. I'm around people who I know personally that will go so deep and go so far to assist you, who want to help. And it's a good place to be. But, you know, family, in closing, is this. We are here. God is here. Our services are available. And we want to help you, especially people. We don't turn down, I don't turn down any group of people, but like I say, but I do focus on those who are African-American, melanated people, black people, whatever you call yourself, but you know who I'm talking about. And in the near future, we will be bringing more resources. We didn't mention this tonight, but most of the people on here will also be hosting podcasts. So they take you a little deep into what they do and how they do it and how they best can serve you. There's a lot of collaborations will be taking place in the near future. Even with Bishop Hawthorne taking on it, you know, we know when I started out many years ago, Brother Lou Fields and I, he'd tell you I helped him put on his first event many years ago. And we did it in this little place called Gentleman Tent. This is the place where they host cabarets, where you host with cabarets and stuff. But, you know, we didn't charge anybody anything, but do you know we had over 100-something vendors in that place? I mean, every little table, I mean, would fall up with just black, small black businesses and services. And so, you know, I already had a foretaste that we can put on huge events, but with the purpose will be so much different than what some of these local events, because Vernon Street is also our event coordinator. And when the time is right, we will host those major, because like I say, COVID kind of stopped everything. We used to actually physically come together every 3 months. And, you know, we share the paper and everybody in the paper will come together. So you physically get to know one another, you know, really be right in the same room with each other. And hopefully we will be able to do that again. But this vision with the National Black Unity News, we land the foundation, and it's so deep and so strong right now that I visualized that we would have major events in every city, every state, and because we have the talent. We have talent in so many places. And when we put our minds together, our resources together, there's nothing. I don't think there's nothing we cannot do collectively. And for those who are listening to this podcast, I'm going to share this in closing. No matter what's going on in this world, and if I don't know if you notice or not, nobody's coming back to save us. No other man is coming back to save us. People that are setting up shops in your community, taking the resources out of your community, they're doing what they're supposed to. They're looking out for themselves. And you can't blame a people who look out for themselves, take care of themselves, and that's what they do. But it's time for us to do what we need to do. We got to stop looking at their model and the way they do their thing, because they're going to do that in spite of whether you like it or not. But the key is when we can come together and start doing us, start sharing with each other, and build ourselves up from the ground on up. And from where I sit again, we have everything we need. We have financial services. We have people who know how to organize. We have all type of people who do this and who does that. We have no excuse, not from where I sit. And the only thing left to do is just for us to start doing it. Brother Cliff sitting up there with that green world, if you look behind it, they just different spokes in the world with different types of organization in it. And the middle of it, that's where the key and the strength is. This spoke is not trying to tell the spoke what to do or how to do it. All it's doing is that each one of them have a spoke in the will. But when they get down to that middle, that means that's where the real strength comes in at. You can do your ministry. You can do the books. You can do financial. So you can do your thing. But collectively, this is where our strength going to come from. When we pull all our stuff, pulling our resources together, our strength together. And based on what you heard here tonight, We have all the physical attributes to do all of these things, but the one thing we have pretty much you heard for yourself, like I said, was not planned, was that most important we got God. God is with us, you know, each and every one of us. And how can we, you can't do that. No excuses for us. And so in the near future, I'm going to say this to you in closing again. One of the key factors to the National Black Unity News is the paper will do fine. The podcast is going to be fine. We're going to do all these great and wonderful things. But you know, the real magic, the real thing that really takes place in this venture is yourself. I'm talking to people on this Zoom call now. Your gift is things that you bring to the table. And if you look at ourselves, if you look at our services, you know, it's all interactive. And so, you know, just keep that in mind and keep coming back, because we need you on these calls, because your gifts, your talents, yes, it's going to hit the readers, the listeners going to benefit from this. But guess who else benefit from each of us, each one of us? I benefit from everything that you said today. It keeps me going. And so, again, try to be on with us tomorrow night. We will have Ruth Ministry. And Mr. James Silver, can you unmute yourself? Because Kathleen Murphy wants to send you a message as well. Can you repeat that to him, Ms. Murphy?
Yes. Yes. Mr. Silver, I sent you a message in the chat, not putting you on the spot either, but if you are available tomorrow night, we would like you to say a few words about yourself and introduce yourself to the group.
It's 7:30 tomorrow evening?
Yes, sir.
I'll make myself available.
I really do appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We have already have our two guests for tomorrow evening. They would take a little bit more time to explain who they are, what they do, why they do it, how they can help us, how they can help our people, and how we can help each other. And so I'm looking forward to that. And again, I'm going to say a pleasant good night to you, and thank you so much for your participation, because it does take a village. And I'm thankful for each one of you who stepped up, shared your information. And this is much love and respect. Thank you and good night.
Good night.
Good night,
everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good
night. Good night. Good night. Good
night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good
night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Goodbye.
Okay, that's going to conclude our podcast for the night. Join us back here next Monday night, again, same time, same station, for another edition of the National Black Unity News Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Take care and God bless.